She's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan. Well,
I saved my good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hello.
Lane Lewis.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil. Hiya. We're here every Saturday, 9 a.m., taking your phone calls, 877-881-1053, and your Autoflex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And you can call Autoflex. They're open today, both locations. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. And since it's a yucky day, if you wanted to shop online, autoflex.com might be the best way to do that.
What are all the people who are heading out to the Greenville Parade going to do? It's on rain or shine.
They're going to wear slickers.
Yeah.
They're going to have, like, bags and stuff over them.
Don't hate your poncho.
Green.
You do need a green one. Or you could just wear a clear one, and I guess if you're wearing green underneath, you'd still be able to see it.
Well, there you have it.
Yep.
We'll even talk about the history of the St. Patrick's Day holiday during the show.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone know that green wasn't the original color of St. Patrick's Day?
Ooh.
How about that?
I did not know that. All right, well, let's get right into it today. There's a GM recall that's now starting to get the government involved.
Yeah, this is going to turn out to be really a big thing. I'm not sure that it should be a really good big thing, but it's going to turn out to be a big thing. The House U.S. Energy and Commerce Committee announced on Monday that it was going to launch an investigation into General Motors' recall of ignition switches that they say are linked to at least 13 deaths. That's a big thing. Now, here's what we're talking about. On certain model GM cars built in the mid-2000s, they are saying that if you have a heavy key fob, if you have a number of keys attached to your car key, and they are heavy, that if you drive over bumpy roads, certain conditions can result in the car actually just powering down the whole car. Well, what that means is you have no power steering, no power brakes, but more importantly, you don't have airbags, because the power to the airbags is cut.
Ooh.
So if you're in the car and that occurs, you have to worry about steering the car and you have to worry about not hitting anything because your airbags don't work. And the 13 deaths they're talking about were a result of the airbags not deploying. So people had a wreck, airbag didn't deploy, and they're saying that 13 people have died because of that.
You know, this brings something to my mind. You wouldn't think that you'd need the airbag to work if the power of the car isn't on.
Mm-hmm.
However, cars get knocked out of gear and roll down hills, and people could. And you don't really think about somebody being in the car, and of course you didn't expect this to happen. But I guess those airbags really need to work no matter what. There needs to be power to that airbag regardless.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, this is not the first time, obviously, that the government has become involved in investigations. Everyone can remember back to the, if you're old enough, the Pintos that were built in the late 70s that had a gas tank located behind the rear wheels at the rear of the car. And if you hit the car from behind, it would break into flames in some cases, which is catching on fire, which is not good. Also, the Firestone 500 tires that were investigated in the 80s on the Ford Explorer, Firestone made tires that would last longer and longer and longer. And what eventually happened was they came up with a rubber compound that would run for 80,000 miles without being worn out. But because the tires ran so long and the compound was so hard, it made them brittle and the tires would explode after a while you were driving down the road.
Because truly the rubber would disintegrate.
Yep. It would sort of break down because of the heat and the cold again and again and again and being on the cars for so long. So they built this great long-lasting car tire that resulted in automotive accidents, rollovers, and that kind of thing. So anyway, it's the same type of subcommittee that investigated the Ford Pinto and the Ford Explorers, but not now. No, not exactly. So anyway, they're going to be looking at the flaws that led to the recall of 1.6 million vehicles, and that's the current recall on these. And they do say it's because they have a heavy key ring. And it's interesting also that some of these accidents that are reported, there are actually a lot more to them than just the airbag not deploying. One of the accidents that they talk about was a young lady that was driving home from a party, Hisaya Kansuthis, and she was in Nashville. She was, I think, 19 years old, driving home from a party. Her 2006 Chevrolet Cobalt ran off the right shoulder of the road and hit a tree.
After sideswiping another car.
And, of course, her family wants GM to make restitution to them because of her death. The fly in the ointment there is she had a blood alcohol level of 0.19% at the time of the crash.
Whoa. They actually did come to a settlement, an undisclosed settlement. They did settle out of court, I guess.
But now they're asking for them to acknowledge that her death was a part of this. And so then what comes first, the chicken or the egg, is the fact that she was over twice the legal limit, the reason she had the wreck, or is GM at fault because
it's not
the
about
airbag deployed or didn't deploy. Yeah, when she hit the tree, she was going 70 miles an hour.
Why she had the wreck might have been the alcohol. The fact that she didn't survive the accident because the airbags didn't deploy might be the reason she didn't live. But, you know, you hit a tree head on, airbags or no airbags, you may or may not
make that one. Yeah,
she was wearing her seatbelt. Most of those deaths, the people weren't wearing their seatbelts either.
Right.
Wear your seatbelts, people. I have a very good friend. Drives me nuts. He won't wear a seat. It's uncomfortable. He has kids. He has grandchildren. He's driving Amarillo today, I'm sure, without a seatbelt on.
Yeah, I think it's an older generation thing because everyone I know wears seatbelts, but I always hear about people who don't, and they're usually older from when you didn't have to wear them. It wasn't against the law to not wear one.
You didn't have to wear one when I was a kid either,
mm-hmm.
but I wear one.
I wear one even if I'm just changing spots in a parking lot. It's just habit to put it on right when I get in the car.
I
pull around from the back of the house to go around to check the mail, I put my. It's a habit.
Yes,
now.
It is.
It truly is. So get in the habit.
So, at any rate, we've got 1.6 million cars being recalled. These cars are all older cars. There's a couple of other things that have to be considered in this. Some of these deaths that they say that occurred because of that allegedly occurred because of lack of airbag deployment happened before the bankruptcy of General Motors.
Mm.
And the bankruptcy of General Motors states very clearly that the new General Motors is not responsible for anything that happened at the old General Motors.
Oh, well, that's
convenient. How bankruptcy works.
In comes the trial lawyers.
Uh-huh.
So now the lawyers are trying to figure out how to make the new GM responsible for the old GM's lawsuits, which are going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because now there are trial lawyers involved, and trial lawyers are doing, as I read in the article, seeking out victims. Sorry, they use the word victims. Seeking out victims that may have been affected or that's families were affected, and they are trying to get a class action lawsuit together.
Did we mention what cars were part of the recall?
We have
quite a few, and we haven't talked about
we'll get to that,
that
list.
Yet.
Stay
we're
tuned.
Going to. Here's another interesting thing. All of the numbers that we're hearing bandied about came from a database called the U.S. Fatality Reporting System, and that's USFRS, and that's always nice to remember. FARS is what they call it. And it evidently, when you look at the numbers from FARS, those numbers aren't totally accurate. In fact, they report nearly double the number of fatalities resulting from lack of airbag deployment that another reporting agency, also the United States government, reports, and they did better investigation. So right now, the IIHS says that the FARS numbers are way, way too high, and they didn't report properly. Part of it is a result of lack of good reporting on the ground where the accident actually occurred, and part of it is because they never really looked deep enough to see why the people died. And a lot of the people that died in these accidents died in rollover collisions in which airbags wouldn't normally deploy, or maybe a car ran up underneath the back of a semi, nothing touched the hood of the car, the airbags wouldn't deploy. Some of the people were actually thrown out of the cars, out the windows.
Yikes.
Well, but airbag deployment had nothing to do with their fatality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens with this and how far it goes, because there's going to be a real big push by General Motors to not be responsible for what happened before the bankruptcy. And these cars were all built before the bankruptcy. And you ask a good question, what cars are they? All 2005 through 2007 Chevrolet Cobalt and Pontiac G5s, 2003 through 2007 Saturn Ions, 2006 through 2007 Chevrolet HHRs, 2005 through 2006 Pontiac Pursuits. The only thing you'll have to deal with that is in Canada. That's the only place they sold them. 2006 through 2007 Pontiac Solstice, and 2007 Saturn Skies. So that's 1.6 million vehicles. And again, the risk is if you've got a bunch of stuff hanging on your keychain, it can weight that down, and that causes that switch to power down your car.
My dad always told me not to do that. He said, take all that stuff off your keychain. All you need is your car key and your house key.
That's true.
What is all this other stuff?
Unless you're a janitor.
But then they started offering a card for CVS and Kroger and all these places and your gym membership. And mm-hmm. then, you know, it just goes on and on. And then you've got a key to get into your office.
Yes.
And,
right.
So, but the bigger annoyance, I did take it all off because now it jingles and those little noise. I think I figured out why he wanted me to take it off.
Right.
It wasn't that he was worried about my ignition switch. That noise of it swinging back and forth and hitting annoyed him. It annoys me now.
Yeah. It's annoying.
Those little noises don't bother you when you're young.
Right. Yeah, the older you get, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. If you're driving one of those cars, you're going to need to contact a General Motors dealer. Now, if you've got a Pontiac, there aren't any other Pontiac dealers, but you can still contact a Chevrolet dealer, a Buick dealer, a Cadillac store, a GMC store, and they'll be able to do those repairs for you. They're expecting to have the necessary parts in sometime around the 1st of April. If you're driving one of those cars and you've got a bunch of keys hanging on your
key
ring,
get them off.
Take them off. Nothing but the key goes in the ignition, and hopefully that will prevent any problems from that. You should contact your local GM dealer as soon as possible to find out what you need to do as far as getting your car in and getting it taken care of.
And again, if you want to see what cars are part of that recall, you can go to autoflex.com, click on the Facebook page, follow along with all the stories we talk about right here on the Saturday Morning Test Drive. We'll be back with more. It's 105.3 The Fan.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Hi. Welcome back.
Hi.
So we're getting some Autoflex Leasing fan texts at 43733 regarding the story we just talked about with GM's recall over the airbags not deploying. If you have too many keys on your key fob in the ignition and it weighs it down and it knocks it into the wrong position, and then if you end up crashing, you don't have airbags because the power shuts off. Some people are saying the worst part of this recall is that not one of those cars should have ever been sold by GM. They weren't their flagships. They were actually embarrassments.
Well, you know, and that's a perspective thing. I think the Pontiac Solstice and the Saturn Sky were two great-looking little cars. Still a lot of them on the road. I still see them, the little convertibles. The Pontiac G5 sold a lot of cars. A lot of four-door sedans were sold. So whether they should or shouldn't have been built, he's right about one thing. Some of them turned out to be embarrassments.
They did go through a tough time there.
They did, yeah. And there was a time when cars were not built near as well as they are now. Let's put it that way. Autoflex Leasing fan text, then what was the color? Okay, so the original color of the Irish celebration of St. Patrick's Day was not green. It was blue.
Huh.
It was changed to green during the 1700s by the Irish fighting men, by the army. And it goes back, we'll talk a lot more about that when we talk about the origins of St. Patrick's Day, but it was originally blue, now it's green. Autoflex Leasing fan text, there still should be residual power feeding the airbags for 15 to 30 minutes after shutting down. Maybe, but it wasn't. So
that's based on what happened with the keys turning off that ignition switch, shorting it out. So no more power going to the... I would think there should always be power to those airbags.
Yeah.
Somehow or another.
Here's the other thing. It may be that now there is and then there wasn't.
Right.
So, because we're going to talk about that. And just like as Sybil mentioned in the earlier fan text, there are some cars that were embarrassments. Some of these cars were embarrassments. In fact, we've got a list of cars that probably should have never, ever, ever hit the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I have personal experience with some of them, and I can tell you that that's actually absolutely right. Should have never been built. The number one car probably that should have never been built was the AMC Pacer.
I don't think that's number one.
Well, You know, when you have a vote and people vote on the worst car ever built, somehow it wins a lot. It just does. It was ugly. It had really cheap interiors. No, it had really cheap interiors. It didn't run well or long.
It was a terrarium.
It was a terrarium. It was really, really an ugly car.
A lot of glass.
Lots of glass.
I thought they were very cool. Wasn't that about the 70s when that came out?
It was.
I thought it was a very cool looking car. But it did look like something that should be cruising the moon.
It did. Okay. That one, just an ugly car, very poorly built. The second car,
ugly, really.
Here's where we get into the electronics. The 1981 Cadillac 864. And they mentioned Fleetwood here, but it was all of the 81 Cadillacs that had a V8 engine, and they all did. They had an 864, and that was something that changed the number of cylinders that fired in order to give them better gas mileage. They were trying to reach the CAFE requirements that the government mandated. And so to do so, they designed this engine that would run on 8 cylinders, 4 cylinders, or 2 cylinders. Pardon me, 8 cylinders, 6 cylinders, or 4 cylinders. And if you were on the highway and you were cruising, it would run on 4 cylinders. Now, the article that I read said it resulted in a jerky ride, it stalled, did things like that. That's really not what happened. But what did happen was the system moving it from 8 to 6 to 4 and back again didn't work really well. And Cadillac buyers expect things to work really well, and it just flat didn't. Now, you could disconnect it, and it was a great car. Because it was a good engine. They'd had that engine for a few years, and it was just a standard V8. But the 864 really cost them a lot of business and a lot of prestige. Very ill-conceived. The electronics just weren't there. So now, number three, the Ford Pinto. We talked about this earlier.
Well,
they used to call this the mother-in-law's car. This was the car you bought your mother-in-law.
That's terrible.
Because it caught on fire?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You could put some Firestone 500s on it and give it to your mother-in-law.
Aww.
Pretty sure that was going to be the end of that.
It's
just
rude.
Anyway, it is rude. 1996 Suzuki X90. If you have ever seen one of these cars, this is probably the most ill-conceived car I've ever seen. It was supposed to be a cross between an off-road vehicle and a sports car. So it only sat 2 people, and it didn't have any power, and it wouldn't run off-road, and it was a crappy car. Speaking of crappy cars,
yeah, how you really feel.
The 1991 Chrysler TC by Maserati. Now, you would think Maserati and Chrysler, when you put them together, they would come up with something really spectacular.
Yeah.
Well, they came up with a spectacular bomb.
Mm.
It was horrible. It wouldn't run. They couldn't fix it. The electronics were optional. It was just a terrible car.
I remember trying to trade someone out of that way back in the day, and I thought, a Chrysler by Maserati?
Yeah.
Way overpaid for their,
yeah.
for their Chrysler. It was a convertible.
Yeah, they were terrible cars.
Yeah.
They were ugly, too. Number six, and I worked for Cadillac at this time, the Cadillac Cimarron.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can remember when Cadillac had everyone come out and drive these, big ride and drive. If you were going to work for them, you were going to drive this car, you were going to love this car. Well, it was a Chevrolet Cavalier. And what they did was they put different fenders on it and a different interior in it, but it was still a Chevrolet Cavalier. It didn't fool anyone. So they tried to sell it for a couple of years and lost a ton of money when it never sold. Number seven, I actually like this car, the 97 Plymouth Prowler, one of the coolest looking cars that probably was ever built. Totally retro, built like a hot rod, except it was underpowered. It had a little 6-cylinder engine, developed about 250 horsepower, and none of them had a stick in them. So a 250 horsepower car with an automatic transmission, especially built in 97, it was powerless. That was the basic thing.
Why wouldn't they make a V8 version of it the way they do with other cars?
CAFE requirements.
Oh.
They had to keep the mileage high. So, and the other thing about the car was, if you pulled forward into a diagonal parking area and bumped the front wheel on the curb, it would knock the front end out of line. And then it would pull to one side or the other until you took it into the shop to have it repaired. So not a great car. Number eight car, the 1958 Ford Edsel. This car was overhyped, and that's really the reason that it didn't go over well. It was actually a good car. It had really cool stuff. It had push-button transmission in the steering wheel. No one had ever seen anything like that. That was really, really cool. Had a lot of very advanced features, but had that horse collar grill. And no one really liked that. Number nine on the list, and I think this one maybe deserves to be number one, the 1985 Yugo. And yes, Fan Texter, you're right. Yugo must be on the list. It was the worst car maybe ever made. It was made in a communist country, and it was really, really horribly, horribly built. They say that they had rear defrosters in the back window of the Yugo, so you could keep your hands warm when you were pushing it in the winter. Terrible car. And then finally, number 10 on the list, it's on everyone's most hated list, the 2001 Pontiac Aztec, a complete styling error. They just built an ugly, ugly car. They were trying to build something that was really, really different looking, something like Nissan has really, really succeeded with lately, the Cube, which is a really different looking car, but people like it, and the Juke the same way, but not so much for the Aztec. They make the top 10 list.
Lane's shaking his head. You don't like the Cube or the Juke?
I hate those cars. The square, just, ugh.
The boxy ones like the Scion XB.
No. Yeah, well, you know, they have a certain following, though. A lot of younger folks love those cars. They love that look. I pulled up behind the Juke the other day. I pulled up behind a Juke the other day. They are strange looking.
I like the Juke. I think it's cute. There's it's something cool about it. It's not as boxy as the other ones. And then Kia has a box on wheels too. I can't remember which one it is. The Soul, that's right.
Yeah.
And so I guess those cars are kind of a little bit popular because people are buying them.
The Soul has the hamsters, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the hamsters make the Soul cool.
Definitely. If it came with the hamsters, I would definitely get one. Lots of fan texters coming in at 43733 on cars that should never be made. This guy says the PT Cruiser.
You know, that's a funny thing because that was one of the most successful things that Chrysler ever did. They took a Neon, which was a very inexpensive product, and they put a retro body on it. They called it a PT Cruiser, and they sold them by the millions. And they were very inexpensive to build, and they made them a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And there's still a lot of them on the street.
Yeah.
But this guy's right. The Renault LeCar, there's another car that should have never been built. Ugly, ugly.
I like, for my personal preference, the Plymouth Reliant. You guys remember those? They were just tiny. They were like little squares. It looked like it was cut out of a square.
K-car.
A what? K-car?
Yeah, that was the K-car.
And yeah, my sister had one, and we both hated it. My dad had given it to her, and when she dropped me off at school, I made her drop me off a block away so I didn't have to be seen getting out of it.
Did you really?
Well, I tried.
You were one of those kids.
No, but she wouldn't let me. So instead,
so she probably rolled up honking.
She did.
Yep, yeah, I would too.
She wouldn't let me get
I'd
out
torture
early.
You.
So instead, she'd pull up and honk the horn.
Honk the horn. Hey, everybody, Sybil's here. That's what big sisters do to little sisters.
That is what they do.
Okay.
Nobody mentioned the Chevy Citation. That wasn't a real cute car.
No, and you know the other thing about the Citation. The Citation was a good example of what overreach does because they built that car with something called high strength low alloy metals to cut the weight way down. Now we use them every day, but in 1980 that was space age stuff. Well, GM produced a car with this special metal being used in all the structural pieces, and there was no way really to repair it in the field. You couldn't use a standard welder on it like you could for sheet metal, which people had done since the beginning of time. You had to have a special welder, a MIG welder. So if you wrecked one and you put it in the shop, nine times out of ten, when they fixed it, the repairs would fail until the repair shops all got caught up with the science of the metal they were using in the cars. Yeah.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Our phone number to the studio is 877-881-1053. Autoflex Leasing fan text 43733. And if you want to call Autoflex, maybe you're thinking about trading in and getting a newer, safer car, two phone numbers right here in the Metroplex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. On a day like today where it's all misty and nasty, don't get out in this. Give us a call. Go to autoflex.com. See the great cars there. Build any car you might even be considering. Find out what your trade's worth, all at autoflex.com. And let me take a minute, because the find out what your trade's worth is one of the things that we find most people really, really value. And that is because you can go to autoflex.com and get a real honest black book appraisal on your trade-in. You have to answer some questions about the car and stuff, but if you do all that, it will tell you what Black Book, which is what we use when we value trade-ins, what Black Book says your car is worth. So that's really, really valuable information. You can get all of that at autoflex.com.
Mm-hmm. Getting a lot of Autoflex Leasing fan texts now regarding the list we just went over, cars that have never should been made. And number one on the list was the AMC Pacer. But this fan texter says the Pontiac Fiero.
You know, that was an interesting car, too, because that car had mostly plastic body panels. And if you had a dark car and you lived in Texas, for one, or Arizona or Phoenix, it would tend to warp after a while. Mm. They would get, like, big waves in them. Because the way that the panels were laminated together, the heat would cause the expansion, and that would cause the waving. They weren't great cars. They were interesting cars. Mid-engine design on them was pretty cool, but the bodies weren't really good.
I thought they had some engine fires, too.
They did. They had a few engine fires.
Which is ironic, given the name.
Yeah, I was working a little bit in the service department back then. It seemed like they had some technical bulletins about those cars. They would gunk up, the oil or something would gunk up and catch fire. I don't recall.
Cars are so much better now. They really are.
Yeah.
Okay, the Chevrolet Nova, they mentioned that as a car that shouldn't have been built. They also mentioned the fact that that's very close in Spanish to saying no go. GM did try to market that car under the name Nova down there for a very short period of time until they figured out what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
How about the Dodge Omni? Was that a minivan? I might need to Google that one.
No. I think it was similar to the other car you were talking about.
Oh, the Plymouth Reliant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Omnis weren't great cars.
Okay.
There was a lot of not great cars.
Yeah,
a little hatchback. Yeah.
And another suggestion for cars that should never be made, the Mustang II.
That was, again, that was one of those cars when everyone was going through the transitions because they were trying to build lighter cars that got better gas mileage, and that was the big concern. Styling sort of took a back seat. Those cars are not really good looking, no. Those are the ugliest Mustangs.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have any of those cars and you want to get out of it, call Autoflex because they're open today. And
you never see a Fiero on the road anymore.
No, I guess you don't.
Well, it's because they're 30 years old. Or 40.
Oh, my gosh, they are.
That just made us all feel older. Thanks, David. But now is a good time to do some shopping because lots of things are happening in the leasing world.
Well, yeah, and the first thing I want to talk about is used car prices. Used car prices have been high for a long time, a long, long time. And the reason they have been is because people quit buying cars back in 2008, 2009. They quit buying cars.
After all of the economy downturn.
Exactly. And when you don't buy cars for a long time, there aren't any used cars on the market. And if there aren't any used cars, they're worth more money. So it's the law of supply and demand, and used cars aren't worth near as much now, or worth a lot more now than they were even a couple of years ago, given the same age and the type of car. That's about to end. Things started really, really picking up in 2011, 2012, and cars started leasing again. This year, there will be 300,000 sales made because people are coming out of their lease cars. That's a big number. What else is happening? Those lease cars, off-lease cars, are all coming back to market, and they are going to radically affect the value that the cars that are on the street right now are worth. They're not going to be worth as much money because there's going to be a lot more of the used cars around. Simple math. A lot more cars sold, a lot more cars leased. Those cars are all finishing up and hitting the market, and your car that you're driving right now is going to be worth less money next year and the year after because of a greater supply of cars. Now, a couple of things. Certain cars won't really be affected a lot by it because they're cars that don't lease a lot, or they're cars that that rental car companies don't have in their fleet. If it's a car that a rental car company has in its fleet, though, or if it's a car that leases really, really well, those cars are going to become worth less and less money because the supply is going to be greater and greater as those cars come off lease or as the rental companies sell off their fleets.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of leasing, I've got a client letter here from someone who went to AutoFlex, another happy customer. He says, Travis Evans worked with me for a little over 3 months to find the right car with the right financing. I felt he was honest and understood my wants and needs in the used car I was purchasing. We completed the most of the deal via phone and email. Then we closed after inspecting the car. We were at the dealership for less than an hour and a half. That was a huge plus for me. We will definitely buy another car from Travis and AutoFlex. So he ended up getting a pre-owned car from AutoFlex, which is good because, as David just said, used car prices are going to start getting, they're dropping, but your car might not be worth as much in a couple years.
Well, and that's how it's going to affect people, is because when they go to trade in their car, they're not going to get as much for it. If you're thinking of trading in the next 12 months, now might be a good time to do it, because we're going to start seeing the result of this increase in car supply. We've already started seeing it. If you look at the values of cars year over year right now, they are depreciating, or they're losing more value now than they were a year ago. In some cases, a great deal more, 20, 30, 40% more than they were a year ago. And I get all this information, we get all the information from the auctions and from the Black Book Company, which does nothing but compare auction prices across the country. And they look at the number of leases that are being done, and then they estimate how the market will be affected when those leases end, because those cars are all going to hit the market at that time. Last year, leasing was 23% of the entire automotive market. So almost one in four cars that was sold last year was leased. Now, if you look at traditionally what we thought of, we always thought of leasing as being someone that was a young professional, had a really good income, liked to trade cars all the time. We looked at that. We thought, well, they all lease. We looked at the luxury cars. We said, oh, yeah, you know, if you're going to drive a Mercedes or a Lexus or a Cadillac or a Lincoln, BMW, a lot of those cars are leased, mm-hmm. and they were, and they still are. But the numbers have really, really changed. Leasing has become a mainstream way to finance vehicles. In fact, the two largest growths in the leasing area are on subcompact and compact cars. That's the two biggest growth areas in leasing. Guess what's happening on the luxury cars? Percentage-wise, less of them are being leased now, but more people are leasing their everyday car, or the student that's going to school or getting out of school. They're all choosing to lease less expensive cars, because the bottom line is, if you're going to make a monthly payment, doesn't it make sense to make that payment as low as possible? Mm-hmm. If you're budgeting your money, nothing beside a lease will do that for you when you buy a car. The other thing is, people's lives change all the time. So it's nice to buy a car and go, I'm going to keep this for 10 years. But the reality is, 2 or 3 years from now, things can change. Your job can change. Where you drive can change. Your family can certainly change, yeah. get bigger or smaller. And your needs change at that time. So the lease tends to serve so many different areas of ways to save money and give you the flexibility you need when you really, really need to make a change. Now, a couple of other things. If you are in a lease now, here's how it affects you. As cars depreciate more, they are worth less money. So if you're in a lease now and you're wanting to get out early, now may be a really good time to do it, because it's going to get a lot harder over the next year or two to early terminate a lease. Reason being, your car will be worth less money. The resale value on these cars that are all in leases will go down, along with the value of all the rest of the cars that are in the market, as the supply increases. So if you've been told, hey, we'll get you out of your lease early, if you're going to do it, you better do it quick, because mm-hmm. it's not going to be possible to do that in the next year or two. By then, it will be too late.
So take advantage of it while you can. And if you want the numbers to AutoFlex, 817 or 972-234-1234. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Our phone number to the studio, 877-881-1053. Feel free to give us a shout. If you maybe are going back and forth between a couple different cars and you want some advice, feel free to call us. Or, as always, our AutoFlex Leasing fan text is 43733. And you can call AutoFlex. They're open. What are they?
those numbers. For you to say. I know. That's a radio professional coming out there.
You would think.
That's going to be either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. AutoFlex.com on the World Wide Web. There's another thing you can do at AutoFlex.com, by the way. If you're in the market for a car, you can go to AutoFlex.com and build any car you might be considering. We have a program there that allows you to build the car with all the build conflicts built in, so it won't build a car that you can't buy, and you can see exactly what the car is going to look like.
Right.
How about that?
One of our AutoFlex Leasing fan texters asks the question, who pays the registration while you're leasing, the company or the buyer?
The same person that pays it when you buy the car.
Okay. The buyer.
The buyer.
Got it.
Yeah, exactly.
It always goes
to the buyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tesla is making news once again.
It is absolutely amazing to me how these guys can always make themselves seem like victims. It's a good story because here's the deal. Tesla opened up two stores in New Jersey and started selling cars. They got a license from New Jersey to sell cars, and New Jersey told them at the time they gave them the license, we're going to give you this license, but you guys have to go to the legislature and get them to rule that you can sell cars out of these stores because they're factory-owned stores. They're not franchise stores. And in New Jersey, as in most states, the state does not allow a manufacturer to sell cars directly to the public because that pretty well makes a monopoly if they do that. Makes it a monopoly. So New Jersey told Tesla 2 years ago, you guys got to go to the legislature, you get the legislation changed, and then you'll be fine. Well, Tesla was not able to do that. And so New Jersey has notified Tesla they need to close down their two locations and stop selling cars directly to the public there until they can get the legislation passed that they need to get passed. Tesla, on the other hand, has said that New Jersey is trying to keep them from being able to make money in New Jersey, that they're anti-capitalist, and it's a terrible thing because Tesla is just a little old company trying to sell cars. Well, the reality is Tesla doesn't want franchise dealers because it costs some money. If they can sell cars directly to the public, it gives them the ability to monopolize, to dictate the price of the car, and they make a lot more money doing it that way. So it's whenever they say it's not the money, it's the money.
It's always the money.
It is. All right, moving right along. Fisker is being reborn as the new Fisker. This is Fisker, which went out of business a couple of years ago, declared bankruptcy, was bought by the giant auto parts company Waxang of China, and they are opening a new Fisker, or they are calling it the new Fisker, because they didn't actually get the name Fisker. They bought the company, but they didn't get the name. So they're going to name it the new Fisker, which is interesting, and they're going to start producing vehicles. Now, the interesting thing to me is, where are they going to build them? Because before, these Fiskers were being built in Valmet, Finland, and shipped. So I'm not sure if they're going to build them in Finland and ship them all over the world, or if they're going to open up a place in China, but they say they're going to build the new Fisker and have it on the road as an electric hybrid, along with the other vehicles that Fisker was going to build, the Atlantic sedan, the Surf, and the Sunset, which is a little convertible hybrid. It'll be sort of interesting to see how all this shakes out. We talked about 2 weeks ago, Bob Lutz is buying up all the Fiskers he can buy so he can put Corvette engines in them. That's an awesome car with a Corvette engine, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Good looking.
That would be nice.
The Secret Service is seeking bids for a new presidential limo that they hope to have ready for the president that takes office in 2017 to be driving. It's interesting because these are huge, huge projects because these cars weigh 10,000 pounds, have 5 inches of armor plating all around, have bulletproof glass, are completely sealed so no one can get them with poison gas, can get the occupants with poison gas. And General Motors has sort of had a monopoly for about the last 30 years building the presidential limos. But the Secret Service is now taking bids, so it'll be interesting to see whether Ford bids, because Ford had the presidential limo bid for many, many years before General Motors did. If you go all the way back to President Kennedy's assassination, he was riding in a Lincoln Continental.
Do they no longer do convertibles for presidents?
No.
Of that.
Just the security issues.
Right. Okay, so that'll be kind of fun to see if things change.
Well, yeah, and they haven't disclosed all the particulars, and they probably never will, on what they pay to build the vehicle or what goes into the vehicle. But I can tell you this, it is probably the most expensive vehicle built today, more than all the supercars.
Wow.
Yeah.
I believe it. Okay, and let's wrap things up with a final fun note. It is St. Patrick's Day weekend here in Dallas. Lots of people heading down to the parade. And we've got some fun facts about St. Paddy's Day.
Well, yeah, and actually St. Patrick was born to a very wealthy family in Roman Britain. In other words, when Rome was ruling Britain, that's when St. Patrick was born. He was actually born in 416, so A.D. His family was wealthy. When he was young, he was actually kidnapped by the Irish rogues, as they were, and taken as a slave. And he was held as a slave for some 10 to 15 years. Then he said he had a dream, and God told him to escape, go back to the people of Ireland, and convert them to Christianity. And so that's what he did. He escaped, went back to Ireland, and he is credited with being the main reason that the Irish are Christians or Catholics, as they are now. He died on March the 17th, in 461, and then he was sainted by the Catholic Church, and he was known for, this is the interesting thing I thought, everyone wonders where the three-leaf clover comes from, the shamrock, and he used that to explain the Trinity, the three leaves of the shamrock, to explain the Holy Trinity to the Irish people at the time, and the Irish people at the time basically had a whole lot of gods. They worshipped a lot of different gods. His deal was there's one true God, and he explained it by using the shamrock, and that's how the shamrock got involved in the St. Patrick's Day celebration. Now, people use it as a great excuse to have a lot of fun, drink some green beer, and hang out with friends.
That's why I celebrate. And also, as you mentioned earlier, they used to wear the color blue to celebrate, but now it's green. Over the years, it became green because of the uniforms that, I guess, the soldiers were wearing or something?
Yes. The soldiers in the 1700s wore green uniforms to identify themselves as being Irish freedom fighters, and that's where the green became involved. Before that, the color associated with the holiday was blue.
Got it.
Yeah.
Getting some questions on the AutoFlex Leasing fan text. Big O in Fort Worth says, out of curiosity, I've always loved products that the internationals put out. International brand put out, Scout Harvester, et cetera. Any chance they'll ever create more vehicles other than just big rigs?
You know, yeah, there are. In fact, he asked another question here. Where did the Sterling come from? And the Sterling was actually a combination of Honda and British Leyland, which was an English company. And they built something called a Sterling. They sold it in General Motors showrooms for the most part. It was an Acura Legend body with British Leyland interior and electronics. Car did not do well.
I've never even heard of it. Was that recent in the past decade?
No, that was back
or?
In the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah. That was one of those experiments from back in the 70s.
I love the International Scout too, though. I used to have a 1963 International Scout, and I loved it. Take the top off and ride around when the weather's nice.
Another quick one. Got an Audi TT and I love it. I'm concerned about the history of Audi's service problems. Is there a real concern there? German cars tend to take service. They do. I mean, if you want a car that never goes to the service department, buy an Asian car. If you want a car that drives like a road car and you really love the feel of the road, then probably buy a German car. But it's going to come along with some service issues. They take service. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing. Just part of life.
Right. Another AutoFlex Leasing fan text, 43733. What about the Ford Escape? Any good?
I think they're great cars. You know what I'm saying?
I don't have one.
No, I know. What do you think about the car? I know you don't have one.
Oh, yeah. It's a great little car.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you can swish your foot under the back tailgate and open the back hatch.
That's
nice.
Genius.
No,
that's
they're good. And there's plenty of space in there, even for tall people. So, yeah. Good Escape.
Perfect. And if you want to test drive one, you can go to AutoFlex Leasing and you can test drive that and along with anything else that you wanted to drive. Here's a fun one, kind of off topic, but what are your favorite driving songs?
Oh, Beach Boys, anything
Blondes
by the Beach
and
Boys.
Black cars.
Yeah, we play a lot of them actually as our return music on the show, so you'll hear those. But that might be a fun list we could put together if we wanted to all compile our favorite songs, and we could do it maybe next week on the air or something.
Yeah, if you've got a favorite driving song you want to hear on the air, you want to hear us talk about, go to Autoflex Leasing's Facebook page and post it on our Facebook page.
Blam, this traffic jam hurts my mom to go so slow.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah.
I like Cars. Here in my car. Meow, 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 meow. Wasn't that by a band called Cars also? Rick Ocasek and the Cars?
Probably.
And it was called Cars?
Yeah, maybe.
Very confusing.
Candio, I need you.
And another, we talked earlier about cars that never should have been made. Another fan texter says, one more really bad car was the Chevy Love.
Absolutely. That was a horrible car.
I don't know that,
that
one.
That was a truck.
It was a little truck.
A pickup.
Yeah. It was mostly made from tin, I think. When you closed the doors, it sounded like they were tin. Yeah. It wasn't
was
a great
bad.
Car.
I thought it was the first little mini pickup.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Well, what was the, was it an El Camino, and it was kind of like a half pickup, half car? That should be on the list.
You still see those cars.
I had one of those.
Those cars are still on the road. The El Rancho, the Ranchero, which was the Ford version, they've been gone for a century. But
they're still around.
El Caminos, you see them all over the place.
I still see Rancheros from time to time.
I don't ever see, I don't notice the Rancheros, but I sure notice the El Caminos because those cars are 40 years old.
Wow.
And they still run it. People got wide tires on them.
Nice. Yeah, I've seen them like jacked up on really big tires.
Yeah, they're cool.
It's a funny look.
Well, they had the car interior, but they had the bed in the back. But it was a one-piece body, so it wasn't like a pickup.
Right.
You know?
And let me tell you, you would lose the back end real quick if you punched it in a you were going to...
Oh, you speak from experience.
Uh-huh. I was young when I had that vehicle.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have any sense.
Back in the day.
You have to be young and dumb in order to become old and wise.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, you'll become old and wise. That's true.
That's true. One more quick Autoflex Leasing fan text. I've got a 2013 Pathfinder with 8,500 miles, and they're replacing the engine and parts worth $14,000. Is this a lemon?
I don't know. I'm not that familiar with Pathfinder engine replacements. I haven't heard a lot about that. Cars are like anything else. Sometimes they have problems. But I haven't heard a lot about that. Well, I'll go online and look. Also, Autoflex Leasing fan text, Gary Newman did the song Cars.
Oh, okay. Nice. Thank you.
There you go.
But they did have lots of people are chiming in telling me that.
We have the smartest listeners.
I know. And I'm terrible when it comes to old 80s music, when who sang it. I usually can, I'll sing the words, but I don't ever know who sings it.
That drinking game.
I would. Today's a good day to play, though. Maybe I'll do that when we get off the air.
I have a friend who, any song that comes on, she'll name that band and say, drink.
Yeah. My husband does that, and it's so annoying because then I'll go, we weren't even playing. You can't just start the game in the middle of a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm already a point behind. That's not fair.
So. You want me to slug that one?
Yeah, exactly. Chug your DP. All right, we have got to get out of here, but we'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. In the meantime, if you want to call Autoflex, these are the phone numbers, 817 or 972-234-1234, or you can go online to autoflex.com. Have a great St. Patrick's Day weekend. Stay safe out there.
Call Uber car or a friend
or taxi.
Walk home or something today. Do not drink and drive.
No, it's a no refusal weekend.
Yep, it is.
So
zero
if you
tolerance.
Get stopped, you're
Come
cooked.
Come on, now it's not worth it.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see you back here next weekend for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. I'm Sybil Summers. Thanks to Lane Lewis. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face. Losing control, yeah.